It's 5 o'clock on Tuesday, and that means it's time for Real Talk here on Asheville FM with Kim and Mark, here to give you our two cents on what's opening up in theaters. And we always dig in a little bit heavier on what's on DVD, special releases, TV on DVD, and more. Real Talk is brought to you by the Fine Arts Theater, located at 36 Biltmore Avenue in Asheville. The Fine Arts Theater specializes in art and independent films, as well as special events. Call our movie line for the schedule at 828-232-1536 or visit their website, www.fineartstheater.com. We have a good mix of stuff opening up here in Asheville this week. We're going to start off with the film that has a nominee for leading actress, who I really enjoy, is Marion Cotillard. And she is not only a great actress, but, you know, I think she's really pretty too. She's in 2 Days, 1 Night, or en français, 2 Jours, 1 Nuit. And this is the new one from the Dardennes. Are you familiar with the work of the Dardennes, The Kid with the Bike, L'Enfant?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've done what's considered some of the best French films the past, years now, quite a few years, maybe 20, 30 years or so.
This one has 100% from top critics on Rotten Tomatoes. It's not nominated for a foreign language film, but this one leads me to think that maybe she will get the one for leading actress. The story behind this one is that a woman wakes from the hospital realizing that she was in an accident, and because she's been gone from work, she's going to lose her job unless she can, within a weekend's period of time, convince all of her coworkers to give up their annual bonuses to maintain her salary. So she has 2 days and 1 night to reach out to all of her coworkers before time runs out and she loses her job.
Well, that's crappy.
I know, it's kind of sad, but it seems like a little bit of a
thriller. I don't know if I'll watch this one or not.
I know. Also opening up this weekend is Match. This one's from director Steven Belber, who did The Laramie Project and Tape. Match stars Patrick Stewart. He is playing a retired ballet choreographer, and a couple comes to visit and interview him about his career. And he was a Juilliard professor, I guess, as well. So it goes through the story of how it was for him as a ballet choreographer in the 1960s up until now. But it seems like the couples may have, an ulterior motive. We'll find out what that motive is throughout the tale of Match. It's only 90 minutes.
You really don't see Stewart acting in films besides, of course, Professor Xavier from X-Men. Yeah, so that's kind of interesting.
Seems like he's been focusing more on theater, which I think is his wheelhouse.
Yep.
The new Wachowski film, Jupiter Ascending, is out this week. It is a space opera. And you know the work of the Wachowskis from The Matrix and Cloud Atlas. This one's starring Mila Kunis as Jupiter Jones. And it also stars Channing Tatum. And it looks like a little sci-fi. And it's kind of a duet with the other one opening up this week. But I think that there's a lot of focus on, you know, entertainment for young adults. And I don't know if this is all that they want to see.
Yeah, I don't know what the rating of this is. But, and also, I think it was supposed to come out last summer and it got pushed back somehow. I think maybe just due to scheduling, or maybe just wasn't done or whatnot. But I don't think they have directed a movie in quite a long time. They're attached to a lot of films as producers or writers or whatever. But maybe
yeah, it's been 3 years since Cloud Atlas.
Okay, yeah. So they directed Cloud Atlas. I forget about that. But like, Speed Racer and then the Matrix movies. And that's pretty much their whole thing.
Yeah, exactly. I guess go with what you know. I'm sure the Matrix is still keeping
them. I like them. And I like the worlds they've created out there. And I think I'll check this one out for sure.
All right. Rated PG-13, Jupiter Ascending.
As long as it's under 2 hours.
Yes, it is.
I doubt it is.
it says it's right at 2 hours. It's 120 minutes.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Wachowskis.
The other one that is kind of in the same sort of genre of, you know, sci-fi films for young adults is also rated PG-13, but it's only 102 minutes, and it's Seventh Son. This is from director Sergei Bodrov.
Should we just start saying the runtime for every single one of them, you know?
I think so.
This is great. Like, 88 minutes is what you need.
That's exactly what you need. But you seem to have some familiarity with Mongol and the Sergei Bodrov catalog. So maybe this one might be the better of the two. This one's really super short and sweet. It's got Julianne Moore and Jeff Bridges.
my guess is bit players, because they usually have the younger people. They have the younger people as the main actors in these type of movies, and then some bigger actors are
supporting,
propelling the plot, my guess.
Yeah, both of these two, the Seventh Son and the Jupiter Ascending, aren't really my type of exciting film. But if you have been waiting for either one of these for a super long time, you can maybe do a double feature. Also, the SpongeBob movie is coming out, and that's all I'm going to say about that, because I think the fans of SpongeBob are going to be really super stoked. I have enjoyed the series in the past.
Yeah, I don't know how popular the show still is. I guess it's up there with Scooby-Doo and Mickey Mouse now. I guess it's now sort of iconic.
Oh, it's a classic.
Yeah. So I guess, you know, just a new generation of kids every year get turned on to SpongeBob, whereas most cartoons, they flame out after just a few years, 2 or 3 years sometimes, and that's it. So could do some SpongeBob.
And this is actually the, let's see, second SpongeBob full-length movie.
That's correct.
The last one came out in 2004, so it makes sense that you'd have one every 10 years being a classic. We'll look forward to the one.
We just got in a documentary. It's a few months old, so we're not really calling it in new releases, but it's called I Know That Voice, and they have some SpongeBob voice actors. It's a really fascinating documentary about just the camaraderie and just the business of voice acting, pretty much. And you know, SpongeBob definitely is just one of those, you know it's the second you hear it, that's SpongeBob.
The thing that, maybe we'll dig into this a little bit, the thing that I don't really super like that they're doing now is taking kid things and making them look like superhero adult. Like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and this one where SpongeBob's got to be like super ripped with a six-pack.
They're probably just making fun of the whole thing, though.
I hope so.
Yeah, I can't imagine SpongeBob actually being that ripped.
Yeah, we'll hope so. Yeah. The Fine Arts Theater is showing A Most Violent Year and The Imitation Game. So those will be in there for at least one more week. And we will give you a quick recap of what's new in theaters this week. 2 Days, One Night, Match, Jupiter Ascending, Seventh Son, and The SpongeBob Movie. Stay tuned to Real Talk. We'll have what's new on DVD coming up next.
Imagine needing help with your substance abuse so that you can be a better mother, but not being able to afford care. Imagine becoming homeless because of a mental illness and not knowing where to turn for help. Women at Risk, a program of Western Carolinians for Criminal Justice, provides mental health and substance abuse treatment in a safe, home-like setting to some of the most vulnerable women in Western North Carolina. For information, visit www.wccj.org or search Women at Risk on Facebook.
This is Anarchist Prison with Sean Swain. The next revolution won't be televised, but it's already broadcast at Asheville Free Media, AshevilleFM.org on 103.3 WSFMLP in Asheville, North Carolina. If you're listening, you are the resistance.
I love my DVD with Mark McCloud from Orbit DVD. Once again, another fun week for DVD releases. I want to see the new Keanu Reeves. I don't care.
Oh, this one's great. And actually, this week, if we have themes, of course, there's some that are dotted around Valentine's Day. It's also Black History Month, so there's a couple of films we're talking about that will be, I guess, maybe released this month because of that. But mainly, most of the stuff that came out this week is first-time directors, actually. Maybe other people that are in the business and other parts of it. And this is definitely the first one, and probably, in my opinion, the best for the week. And this is John Wick, starring Keanu Reeves. Oh, and, you know, I'm now here. A collective groans from about 10,000 people. That's how many people listen to us, right? 10,000 people a week.
Maybe they released this one with the Wachowski film release on time.
Yeah. John Keanu Reeves. Whoa, dude. You know, so anyway, this one is great. This one is great. It's about as simplistic as you possibly can get. The directors, it's Chad Stahelski and David Leitch, I guess. Anyway, both of these guys have been in the stuntman business for a very long time.
So the stunts are probably going to be pretty good.
Yes, this is a stunt-heavy film, and it is awesome. This movie is awesome. And I don't want to give too much away, but this basically is a revenge film. Imagine if the guy, kind of like Taken, I guess, where, you know, John Wick can take you down in a matter of seconds, pretty much. And that's basically it. That's basically it. We're just going to leave it at that. But anyway, cars, of course, guns, lots of hand-to-hand going on at times, and it's just absolutely, you know, slam-bam,
Action film.
Action. I mean, I would say this and this are rated 2. We're probably scraping the bottom of my top 10. I'd say both of these would be in my top 15. And this is kind of maybe the movie I wanted rated 2 to kind of be in a way. And and John Wick definitely delivered. And like I said, you know, Keanu Reeves works when, you know, perhaps there has not too much dialogue going on for Mr. Reeves. And there's definitely not much for him. He's sort of this silent, quiet, contemplative type. And he is kicking ass.
Also new on DVD this week, Dear White People. This is one of the ones that I really wanted to see last year that I didn't get to see yet, so I'm really stoked that it's out on DVD.
Did it maybe play here? I can't remember. Maybe Fine Arts for a week
or
something? Okay, yeah. So anyway, this was a humongous, and I say humongous buzz, a huge Sundance hit, considered one of the best films of the last Sundance and whatnot. And I guess it's released, you know, theatrically, like more of a limited market type stuff. So this is also a first-time director, and he also wrote this one. It's Justin Simien. And it is sort of like, imagine the new Do the Right Thing or you know, She's Gotta Have or whatever, or School Days, I guess, could be maybe the best point of reference here. It's also an ensemble cast. There's some people you probably recognize. One of the main characters actually is Chris from Everybody Hates Chris. Down there and stuff. Tessa Thompson is in Copper, the BBC show Copper and whatnot. And everybody does a great job in this. And it's basically about in particular four black leads that are a definite minority in an Ivy, like some unnamed, well, I think they do name it, Ivy League school. So they definitely are, you know, a small percentage. Some of them are being kind of maybe looked at disdain because they probably have slid in there somehow, but maybe not, you know, I think all are there for their academic credentials and whatnot. Anyway, this film asks a lot of questions. It puts a lot on the table. A lot about race and race relations and perceptions of race. It kind of uses as a backdrop of the whole thing an unfortunate incident that in Dartmouth College, it might have been a fraternity that had a racially charged party where everybody came dressed ghetto. It turned out, though, you'll see in the credits, and I'm not giving too much away about this, that it has not alone in one college has done that pretty much. But the questions really are not answered in this movie, which is, I think, fantastic. You know, it's a very complicated film. And I think maybe for some people it might be too heavy, but it's also funny. It's funny. I laughed quite a bit. And I say out of all the four new main leads, Tessa Thompson probably will be perhaps the biggest star to come out of this thing. This could be a watershed, you know, one of these watershed films where, you know, like a Breakfast Club or a Dazed and Confused or, you know, one of those films where like multiple people go on to bigger careers after this. I think everybody did a great job, but she especially played a sort of quote unquote militant young black woman who's also mulatto. And also, perhaps, is seeing sort of she's seeing some white guy on the side as well, you know, because she loves him, you know. So it's like I said, there's a lot of complications in this movie, a lot of questions, and they all don't get answered. But
that's how life is.
Yeah. But they, you know, they wanted it that way though. Saw the special features of the director, and he said he witnessed people talking in the lobby after the movie, and that apparently happened everywhere.
Great. Well, I'm looking forward to checking it out now that it's on DVD. And also out on DVD is, well, Dracula Untold. This was like one of those ones where everything has to be really super gray and bleak.
Yes. CGI fantasy for everybody. This is also another first-time director, Gary Shore. This one, not so good, but it was a humongous worldwide smash. I think Universal, sitting around their boardroom, lost whatever superhero properties they had. I think they might have had the Hulk. That was gone a long time ago. They're like, going, how can we get some of this cash? You know, and they go, What do we have? Jurassic Park? Okay, we're going to make a Jurassic Park. So what else we got? Oh, Universal Monsters. We got Dracula, Frankenstein, Wolfman, Creature of the Black Lagoon, The Mummy, The Invisible Man, stuff like that. So this, unfortunately, for us huge classic movie monster fans like myself, they are going to rebrand these characters as more of the heroes or superhero. Superhero types. And heavy CGI. It's got that matrixy, underworldy type cinematography, dark, gray, you know, and just, you know, stuff I don't like. But it stars Luke Evans. Luke Evans is, I guess, most notably recently in The Hobbit. He is the late shoreman, I guess, longshoreman, whatever the Lake Town guys, you know.
Yes.
He's a main Lake Town guy. Dominic Cooper is also in this, and it's about, instead of focusing on the Bram Stoker book, they go back to the origin story, which is Vlad the Impaler. And Vlad makes basically a deal with the devil to protect his small country or small domain from invading Turks. And that, of course, involves becoming a vampire.
All right, so he has to save them, and that's where the hero aspect comes in.
I have no doubt this will be popular, but you know, like I said, I'm kind of sad to see this happen. And you know, like the remake of The Wolfman that happened a few years ago wasn't a hit with Benicio del Toro and Anthony Hopkins, but I thought that was great. I really enjoyed that one, but it was just maybe too much for this audience to handle. And that was a full on hard R too, you know. And whereas this one's PG-13-ish, you know,
with lots and lots and lots of CGI.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Also out on DVD this week is Ouija. And I'll tell you, I get kind of freaked out by stuff like this. I think this, as a kid, this was one of my most scary things.
Right. this also is a first-time director, Stiles White. Stiles White hasn't really done much anything before this. But anyway, he's done some special effects type stuff. This is the first film for Hasbro's name. Hasbro, of course, owns the name Ouija and the Ouija board. So they're going to protect their property, meaning they're not going to make it too devilish, you know, not make it too sinister, not too horror-y, because, you know, you
want to sell the game.
You want to sell the game, yeah. You want to sell the game. So there you have it. It's a horror movie wannabe, I guess. And it definitely it was on some worst of lists for the year, rightfully so. However, on a very zero budget, it made about $100 million worldwide. So it was a huge hit. So expect a Ouija 2,
oh God,
3, 4, 5, and 6 to come out, and whatever else devilish games we can think of as well.
Well, Best of Me is also out on DVD this week, and this is the new Michael Hoffman film.
Yeah, Hoffman's done some good stuff. We shouldn't say the name Hoffman. We should say the other name, which is Nicholas Sparks. Nicholas Sparks did... Well, he does romance novels. I think after The Notebook became a huge hit. Here comes Nicholas Sparks books, and here comes Valentine's Day. So we got to have something romantic, right? In February.
Oh yeah.
We'll give you some choices next week. Okay, we'll lead you astray, or we'll lead you to a better place for romance movies. But for right now, you have everybody looking hunky or pretty. You got James Marsden, you got Michelle Monaghan, and there you go. I think it has to deal with young lovers that got separated forcibly that are now having a chance for a second chance on love.
Oh.
Yeah, that's sweet.
I guess I have heard of it happening once where it's like, and then I fell in love with my high school sweetheart.
Yeah, those always work well.
Now, what's up with this disappearance of Eleanor Rigby, them? Because we talked about this when it first came out.
Right. Okay, so this one is a little complicated. It's also a first-time writer-director, Ned Benson. And he made two movies, the same story, with different points of view. So you have the disappearance of Eleanor Rigby, colon, him, James McAvoy. And then there's a separate movie that came out called The Disappearance of Eleanor Rigby, Her, played by Jessica Chastain. Still with me?
Yep.
Okay.
So now we're going to
The Weinstein brothers got this movie, and the Weinsteins like messing things up. Or maybe this stuff was maybe supposed to be mixed up. So out came The Disappearance of Eleanor Rigby, colon, them. Meaning it's a compilation or a mashup of the first two films.
So it's not new, fresh material. It's just a mashup of the previous?
Right. So the him and her versions of the same story are now them, meaning it's just a regular movie now. So, But it's a pretty great cast. I think William Hurt's in this. Who else is in this movie? Viola Davis is in this film. Bill Hader's in this movie. Ciarán Hinds is in this film. It's like people just seem to line up. Isabelle Huppert is in this film. People just lining up to be in this thing. And There you go. They probably were attracted to the concept of it. It was made for nothing. So
what about the ABCs of Death 2?
Yeah. Yes. One of our favorites of the past couple of years was the ABCs of Death. And the ABCs of Death is one of our favorite horror genres, which is called the anthology movie, meaning that there are multiple short films in a particular film. Think the Tales from the Crypt movie, the original one, not the more recent one and whatnot. But anyway, it's a separate director for every letter of the alphabet, and every letter is a letter for death.
So each of the two films is a 26-chapter anthology.
So there is now 56 short stories for ABCs of Death. Yeah.
All right.
And what I love about short films, especially these, because like some of these only last like a minute long.
You know, so it's sort of like Edward Gorey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where he does the alphabet and it'll be like 26 Tales of Death.
Yes. So imagine that amped up a little bit. And there's people you probably wouldn't expect, like the animator Bill Plimpton, who did the tune and some great stuff. He's on here and whatnot. There's supposed to be the man who directed the film we talked about last week, Why Don't You Play in Hell, was supposed to be on this, and he was not. Sano. Maybe for the next one.
Of course, there will be ABCs of Death 3. We'll probably have 26 of them.
Yeah.
But we do have one special release for you, which is Richard Pryor, Amid the Logic.
Yes, I guess also this is being released for, to be in conjunction with Black History Month. And I think perhaps, at least in popular culture, maybe in the past 40 years or so, no one, I think, to me, from my perception, has a bigger impact on entertainment as far as African-American entertainment as Richard Pryor. So you got to figure
huge impact on comedy.
Yeah,
as well.
Stand-up comedy definitely, but also you got to figure a huge comedy on rap, and movies, and music in general after that as well. So, it's funny we had a few weeks this older couple come in and they were asking for Richard Pryor. So we showed them some of the 70s Richard Pryor. They go, oh, we don't want that. So they wanted the really sort of neutered, watered down Richard Pryor, like Brewster's Millions and The Toy and things like that. And it's like, oh, what are you doing? But, I guess there's different eras of Richard Pryor out there and whatnot. So anyway, Richard Pryor, definitely, most of you know, one of the best, if not the best stand-up comic in the history of stand-up comics. I'd say him and Carlin are probably up there on the pedestal together. Pryor took a lot from his personal history. A lot of his pain got put out on the stage, and that's really unique, I think, at the time, the pain of it, and to make that funny. He grew up, a lot of people knew he grew up in a brothel. There's drug-addicted relatives and crime and this, that, and the other.
So the laughing to keep from crying.
Kind of, yeah. And I think probably my favorite comedy is using this pattern, this model, where like people pull up, someone like a Louis C.K., it's like pulling up something just horrific or whatever and able to make something like that really funny is definitely a very, very unique talent out there and stuff. So this was a BBC-produced documentary. We really enjoy what they do because a lot of that stuff is usually just unbridled, it's totally open. And this is a, because I don't think there really has been a Richard Pryor documentary out. I've looked for one. I don't think I've found one out there besides like a special here or there. So this is a good place to start for him. We do carry his stand-up specials, which are considered some of the best stand-up films of all time. And of course, his movies.
And this is a documentary?
It's a documentary. It's a BBC-produced documentary. It's not a biopic. Yeah. Fortunately, it's not a biopic. So you get a lot of people from his past, and a lot of people from, of course, Dave Chappelle's in this thing, and a lot of the newer comics and whatnot. Of course, a direct lineage from him goes on to Eddie Murphy, from the 80s, and then Eddie Murphy on to, say, Chappelle in the 90s and the O's and stuff like that. So,
well, if you do want to get some more laughs, I finally did get to see Dead Snow 2 when y'all screened it at the Mothlight, and I laughed my ass off. It was really funny. I had the laugh on top of a laugh. So I haven't seen Dead Snow 1 yet, but I will have to check it out now that I'm like, all right, it is actually pretty funny. And I was really excited to see some familiar faces in it from Freaks and Geeks and such as that.
Oh, yes. Zombie Squad.
Yeah. So I can definitely say that Dead Snow 2 is actually hilarious. So if you're looking for some laughs, that one would be a good rental as well. All right. Well, to recap what we have for DVD this week, we've got John Wick, Dear White People, Dracula Untold, Ouija, Best of Me, Disappearance of Eleanor Rigby, Them, The ABCs of Death 2, and the BBC documentary Richard Pryor, Amid the Logic. Real Talk is brought to you by the Fine Arts Theater, located at 36 Biltmore Avenue in Asheville. The Fine Arts Theater specializes in art and independent films, as well as special events. Call their movie line for the schedule at 828-232-1536, or visit their website at www.fineartstheater.com. We hope you'll stay in tune with Real Talk by finding us AFM Real Talk on Facebook, and you can email us at realtalk@ashevillefm.org. We know you want to support awesome programming like this one and the Steve Sachs Syndrome, so we encourage you to click the donate button there on the homepage while you're looking at it, and stay tuned for the countdown with Tom Peters coming up next here on Asheville FM.